When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
WBSM presents The Tim Meisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Meisberg Show.
Good morning. Happy Thursday to you. And even though the rain is going to be coming down in a little bit, it is still 50s night. The rain is expected to move along by lunchtime and things will be plenty dry in time for 50s night, which is scheduled to start at 6 p.m. But that's really just kind of the ceremonial aspect of things, as Scott Pemberton was telling us the other day. It's actually going to start a little earlier. WBSM will be there probably like around 4, 4:30 at the latest. So you can come on down and join us, hang out with us. We'll be playing 50s music on WBSM, WBSM.com, 1420 AM, 99.5 FM, the WBSM app. I think I mentioned all those things. But basically anywhere where you hear the station, you'll hear 50s music from 3 p.m. until midnight. And I was here last night, stayed late, getting the playlist ready, getting everything together, and I said, man, this is such a fun night that I hope we can come up with more fun nights like this. Now, there's some, you know, behind-the-scenes things that have to get approvals and moved around and things like that, but maybe we can come up with some more fun theme nights and take advantage of our ability to reach you in many different ways and supply, you know, I don't know, maybe like a night of patriotic music for 4th of July fireworks, things along those lines. So hopefully I will see you down there at 50s night tonight. We will have some giveaways going on. I'm going to bring some signage for you to be able to download the WBSM app if you don't have it already, so we can help you get it right there. And of course, that's going to be a big key to all of the contests that we have going on this summer and into the fall. But tonight specifically, we're going to be giving away some tickets to see James Taylor at the MGM Fenway in Boston. And I still have some Patton Oswalt tickets to give away. So we'll do that down there at 50s night tonight. So come on by and enter to win. And just say hi. Let us know that you're a listener. Let us know what you like. Let us know what you don't like. We can talk about things going on in the news, which we will certainly do this morning as well, because last night, the City Council Ordinance Committee had a meeting, and a majority of the meeting was spent on a couple of orders and acts from Mayor Mitchell to get the recall process going for New Bedford, not to start a recall, but to be able to put in place in New Bedford a mechanism for a recall. And first of all, last night, listen, I get it. It's not easy to be a city councilor. There's a lot of things that you have to do every single night. There's a lot of things that you have to prepare for and know about and read up on. But sometimes when I watch these meetings, I just scratch my head and say, did you even read the agenda? Did you even read the attachments to the agenda? Because more often than not, you see them say, like, for example, last night, they were asking questions of city solicitor Eric Jakes and the council's attorney, David Garatowski, and they're asking the two counselors questions. And then the answer would be, well, if you go back to the previous paragraph or on the previous page, you'll see this. And I'm just watching what was a 2 hour and 15 minute meeting that I was like, you could have gotten through this in, you know, 45 minutes. When you take away some of the inane questions. And I get it. In a process as much as this, questions are important. And getting things on the record are important. But there's a way to get things on the record that shows that you actually know the material. And I know people will say, well, oh, it's easy to say that when you're not sitting in that seat and you don't have all that work that you have to do. Listen, anybody that's in radio prepares for hours before they go on the air. They don't just sit down here and say, hey, let's talk. Well, I mean, I do a lot of the time. Because most of when you're in the morning slot, most of what you've prepared before you left work the day before is probably outdated. So you have limited amount of time in the morning and you're really reacting to a lot of things in real time. So morning's a little bit different. But people who work in radio certainly, you know, read voluminous material before they go on the air. But look at Barry. I don't know how many pieces of paper are in one of those packages of printer paper, like 200 sheets, something like that, 250 sheets. Barry goes through one of those a week. In all the stories that he prints out to read and highlight and underline and circle and bring with him into the studio to talk with you about things. But anyway, the issue on the table, there's a couple of different issues involved in this recall or involved in what they're trying to change, because this is going to need a home rule petition to change the city's charter. One is there is currently no mechanism to explain how to fill the vacancy of the office of mayor now that the mayor is a four-year term. So the previous, I'll see if I have all my information right. And if I get it wrong, I'm sure somebody will call in and correct me. But the previous way under a two-year mayor was if the mayor is unable to fulfill their term and they're in the first year of the term, there would be a special election. And if there wasn't, if they were in the second year, then, again, it's easy for me to get confused, but I'm not somebody who's been studying this like the counselors have. Let me pull up my notes from the meeting last night so I can make sure that I don't get anything backwards. So in year one, if the mayor leaves office, it calls for the council will call for a special election. The city clerk will call for a special election. If there's a vacancy during the second year, the city clerk will call for a meeting of the city council, and the city council will elect by majority vote of its members as mayor for remainder of the unexpired term. So that's what happens if there's a vacancy in the office of mayor. And in the past, it has been that the city council president assumed the position of mayor. That happened when Mayor Markey stepped down. So, Councilor Morad was proposing that if they're going to make changes,
that they make the changes a little bit more defined, a little bit more laid out.
So her argument was that because the president, and again, this is where it gets confusing, is I guess the way that it's currently written is the city council president becomes acting mayor in the absence of a mayor. Councilor Morad's point was, but what if the city council president doesn't want to take on all that responsibility? Because let's just say, you know, the mayor leaves with, you know, 8 months left on the term. And by the way, this all has to be adjusted for, the reason why this conversation came up is it has to be adjusted for a 4-year term now. So you now, they want to make it so that the first 3 years, if the mayor vacates the seat, vacates the position, they would have a special election. And if it happens the way that this proposed home rule petition was originally written, it would be 6 months. If it was within the last 6 months of the final year of the term, then they would go to the city council for acting mayor until the election is held and the new person is sworn in. But they decided that because holding a special election and all that is, you know, too, the time frame needed takes too long, that they want to expand that to the last year. So the last year, the last 12 months, which, you know, the counselors seem to be on board with making that change from 6 months to 12 months. But where things got bogged down was Councilor Morad's point that, you know, we're going to thrust upon the city council president that you have to be the acting mayor when you might only be the acting mayor for 3 months. So you've got to now quit your day job for a position that you'll only hold for 3 months. And that not everybody could get the time off of work. They would have to quit. They might have family commitments, you know, that they've signed on for the role of city councilor, which is a job that's done mostly in the evenings. And now suddenly they have a job that's going to be 24 hours a day. And while I see her point, I also look at the fact that it's always been generally assumed that if something happens to the mayor, the city council president becomes the acting mayor until which time there is a special election or to fulfill out the term, whatever it is in the particular situation. But they've always assumed that the city council president is elevated to that position. So don't become city council president if that inevitability, or I shouldn't say inevitability, if that possibility would be something that you couldn't fulfill. Like, you would never want to become vice president of the United States if you were afraid of becoming or had some reason not to become president of the United States. You're a heartbeat away from that position. You better be ready to step into that role if necessary. And I think the same should be said for whoever the city council president is. And these decisions that they were talking about and these things that they were discussing, I couldn't help but feel like they were being shaped in the mindset of the current city council and not the city council for the next, you know, 200 years. So when Councilor Morad, and I'm not trying to put words in her mouth here, but when she's talking about, well, what if the city council president, you know, has a day job and couldn't become acting mayor and didn't want to give up their day job to become acting mayor? What I'm hearing is, what if the current city council president, who has a day job, and what if Mayor Mitchell, who for some reason people think may not finish out this term, decides to leave and she doesn't want to step into that role? And some of it, I think, you've got to kind of put your foot down from a legal perspective and say, no, it doesn't make sense.
It doesn't make sense to turn complete control of whoever becomes the mayor over to the city council to decide amongst themselves which one of them wants the job. You elected your president because you thought that was the best person to lead the council that year. At least that's what's supposed to be the mindset behind it. So therefore, let that person be the person to lead the city. Maybe you put a provision in there that says, and then if that person doesn't want to fulfill the role, it can go to the first vice president, the second vice president, and so on. You know, then maybe after that, the most senior member of the council beyond that. Whatever mechanism they want to put in. But I don't really feel comfortable with the idea of there being no mayor. And then you say to the city council, okay, you guys have a special meeting and don't leave until you've elected somebody amongst yourselves to be the acting mayor. Because if you put, and I'll just use him as an example because he's got a thick skin and won't mind. If you put Ward 1 Councilor Leo Choquette in as the acting mayor, that's who you voted for amongst yourselves. Well, the only people that elected Leo Choquette to the city council were the people of Ward 1. The other 5 wards didn't have a say in that. And now that person is going to be the chief executive of the city. At least if you are picking from if you put in a provision where it has to be an at-large councilor, say, then that means it's somebody who was voted on citywide. So there's just all these little nuances. Again, it might not matter to some people, but I'm just picking out all the things that could be flaws in their logic. But that's, something that will be hammered out. By the way, nothing happened in this meeting except that they kicked the can down the street because there are a lot of questions that they still want to have answered, some definitions that they want. Totally understandable. And that's the right thing to do. The right thing to do is to get all the information, but just some of the nuances of it, I saw as a little self-serving. Not self-serving in terms of each individual counselor who was speaking, but more as self-serving as, what is the council getting out of this? How is the council controlling the situation? And then the main issue here, that's, as Mayor Mitchell put in his order, that's just housekeeping, changing that position. The main purpose of the Home Rule petition is to put in a recall process. And the recall process, first of all, I don't even see how in today's current political climate in the city, how this would even happen. Because in order, the bottom line is, in order for a recall to happen, when all is said and done, all of the smaller steps to get to the actual recall election are pretty significant. The council feels they're not significant enough, but we can get into that. But in order for there to be a recall, 15% of the voting population of the city has to turn out and vote in that election, or else the recall election is null and void. And do you think you're going to get that? You struggle to get 15% in a normal election, let alone a recall election. But this, by the way, these numbers were not created arbitrarily. They were done by the attorneys looking at, the city solicitor's office looking at a number of other communities and their recall process. For example, in order to initiate the recall process, if it's for a ward counselor, you need 100 signatures of people from that ward. If it's for an at-large counselor, mayor, or any other position that's voted for citywide, you need 100 signatures rather, from each ward. So you can go get 200 from Ward 1, but it doesn't matter. You still need to get 100 from the other 5 wards. Fall River, as Attorney Jakes pointed out, Fall River only requires 10 signatures, which is why they have a recall so often.
or why they're able to have a recall so often, I should say. We got a caller on hold. Caller, let me take this break really quick, and then we'll come back and we'll try to sneak your question in before the news. We'll be right back. You know, caller, I'm sorry to do this to you, but I'm going to actually have you hold on until after the news, and then we can get into whatever it is that you want to discuss. But we've got Phil Devitt in the newsroom getting ready to give us an update, so we want to make sure that we get that in on time. Also, a reminder, too, that even though we are giving away some tickets for things at 50s Night later on, we still do have Green Day tickets to give away. Green Day, Smashing Pumpkins, Rancid, the Linda Lindas, all performing at Fenway Park on Wednesday, August 7th. And you can enter to win tickets at WBSM.com or on the WBSM app. And those are part of Tim's Tickets, the big summer and fall giveaway that we're doing, which is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven, the home of the Purple Dot, where you can try before you buy. And I'll share with you my my experience at Stevie's yesterday. I'll share that with you a little bit later on. But right now, let's go into the newsroom and get all the latest stories of the day from Phil Devitt.
J.D. Vance accepts the vice president nomination for the Republican Party. President Biden tests positive for COVID, and NASA prepares for the end of the International Space Station.
From the WBSM newsroom, this is WBSM News.
Ohio Senator J.D. Vance is taking the floor at the Republican National Convention as Donald Trump's VP pick. Vance officially accepted the nomination Wednesday night.
And I'm overwhelmed with gratitude to say I officially accept your nomination to be Vice President of the United States of America.
The nation's first millennial party nominee formally introduced himself to the voting public, touching on his humble beginnings, his journey to become an Ohio senator, and now VP nominee. Delegates and guests at the RNC are talking about how much they enjoyed Vance's acceptance speech. John from Alaska says he connected well with ordinary Americans.
He's come from a working class background. He's from the heartland of America. He's just fantastic. He's pulled himself up by his bootstraps.
John says he likes Vance because he provides a younger perspective on politics. The Ohio Republican senator is 39 years old. Tonight is the last night of the Republican National Convention, and it's going to be all about Donald Trump. The former president set to take the stage in Milwaukee to formally accept the GOP nomination for the White House. It'll be the first time he addresses the nation since surviving an attempt on his life Saturday at a rally in Pennsylvania. Tonight's theme is Make America Great Once Again. The Homeland Security Inspector General, meanwhile, says that he'll investigate the Secret Service handling of security at that Pennsylvania rally. President Biden has tested positive for COVID-19. The White House says Biden tested positive following an event in Las Vegas in which he was not feeling well. He was forced to cancel an afternoon speech before a Latino civil rights and advocacy group. The president is experiencing mild symptoms and isolating in Delaware. New York is under a state of emergency after tornadoes and strong storms swept across the state. Thousands were left without power after the storm. Cleanup mode now, but more severe weather in the forecast for next week. The U.S. Navy is clearing over 250 black sailors of wrongdoing in connection with an explosion that occurred 80 years ago. Tammy Trujillo with the story.
The Navy concluded that the black sailors were unfairly punished. In 1944, an explosion at the Port Chicago Naval Weapons Station near San Francisco resulted in the deaths of 320 people, primarily black sailors and civilians. Following the explosion, surviving black sailors were tasked with cleaning up the blast site, including human remains, while white officers were granted time off. Additionally, black sailors faced punishments that affected their ability to receive honorable discharges, despite many of them returning to work at the port and serving throughout World War II. A group of 50 black sailors who refused to work at the port again were collectively tried on charges of conspiracy to commit mutiny, convicted, and sent to prison. I'm Tammy Trujillo.
And NASA is planning for life after the International Space Station. Associate Administrator for Space Operations Ken Bowersock says despite many successful missions and experiments, time is not on its side.
But 25 years is a long time, and we're getting to the point where we need to think about what comes after ISS.
NASA is contracting with SpaceX to develop a de-orbit vehicle to bring the ISS down gently into the ocean when its lifespan ends in 2030. The vehicle will execute the last week of deorbit burns as the ISS goes down. NASA plans to transition to using private companies to operate space stations.
WBSM Sports.
Red Sox hoping to start the unofficial second half of the season on the right foot. Boston looking to extend its win streak to 3 games when it visits the Los Angeles Dodgers for a 3-game series beginning on Friday night.
Now your ABC 6 South Coast forecast.
More comfortable weather in the forecast starting today. We're cloudy this morning, but we will clear and get the sun back. A warm day in store for us with highs in the mid to upper 80s, but we'll notice a decrease in the humidity. Friday looks to be even better, sunny and temperatures in the low 80s. I'm Phil Devitt for WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's news talk station, WBSM, and get all of our content and breaking news alerts with the WBSM app.
All right, let's go to the phones. Good morning. You are on WBSM.
Good morning, Tim. Gilly Saffield.
How are you, Gilly?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm doing all right.
Tell you, that was a joke last night at the city council meeting.
I mean, it was certainly head-scratching in moments.
Well, that's why I tell people they should go to those meetings. Because, see, when I go, I don't look at the people talking. Okay, I can hear them talking. I look around and look at the other 10 city councilors for their body language and everything. And I'm going to mention some names, what they did, if you will let me. I was there. The only thing on their mind last night was, what's going to happen to me if somebody wants to recall me? They weren't worried about the mayor's thing. You had two intelligent people, the two attorneys for the city, and David Jurotowski, their attorney. And they're trying to explain what the process is. It used to be 2 year for recalls and all that. But the funny part about it is...
No, 2 year for terms. There's never been a recall.
Well, that's the bottom line. But that's the way... There was a thing, there was a motion in there from the mayor. They didn't understand it. Okay, Linda Mora tried to direct that meeting for her benefits, like she usually does. Like I told Chris when he asked me the question, how do you think they're going to vote? And I said on the radio to him, and I'm going to call Chris later, I said they're going to vote the way Linda Mora tells them to vote. Okay. It was so kiddish. The only thing, and then, you know, Linda Mora brought up about it when they continued it. They want everybody included, including for recall, the assessors. They even brought up the school committee.
Right. When okay. So just to give a little background, you're referring to when Catherine and Paul were trying to get the recall going and the counselors were saying, well, why are they just trying to recall us? There should be a recall for everybody.
Right. But the bottom line is they had it on Channel 12 News today, one of the statements. And you can see me in the background. I was the only one in the stands. Listen. Like I said, I was looking at the reaction of the other city councilors when Linda was talking. Okay, that's all they were worried about, is about them being recalled. They were starting off votes and blah, blah, and blah, blah. You should have seen their faces. They're arguing about... That's what they were worried. They were worried about their keisters. Okay, not all of them, because when she was talking, you had... Ryan Pereira, he was in charge. I was looking at him, and he was shaking his head. I was looking at a lot of them, you know, Ian Ebrew, Lee Chiquette. But nobody's got the kahunas to set this straight. That's what they're worried about. They're worried about them being recalled. It's not enough. And on Channel 12, Linda Moret said on the thing, it's not enough, 100 votes, because they're going to want us to be recalled for 100 people that didn't like what we said. That was their mind last night, those three people that talked like that.
Well, I mean, to be fair, she kind of looks at that as that's what this was all about, trying to find a way to recall her was because of the way that she spoke to Catherine. That's what she thinks this is all about.
they didn't even talk to Catherine like that. She has attacked every city council there. Maria Giesta, Brian Gomes. Naomi Connie, Maria Giesta. She attacked everybody. In the chambers, on tape. She can do it, but nobody else does it for her. You know what I mean? But the bottom line is, you had two lawyers telling the city council. Dave Jurakowski is his lawyer. He can't tell them what to do. He'll do whatever they tell him. He works for them. Whatever you want me to do, you tell me. You can do this, you can do that, but I'm not going to tell you this is the right way or the wrong way. He was trying to convey to them last night they were there for that thing that the mayor put forward. Okay? And when you bring up, I'm going to bring something else up. When Linda Morad brought about everybody should be in the recall process, including the city council. Can I ask a question here? Why the city, not the city council, the school committee?
Mm-hmm.
They're the only elected officials in the city that don't get paid. So why recall them?
Well, I think a recall is more about the position than it is about the salary. It's more about having a person in there making decisions that you don't agree with or that you think are dangerous decisions for the city.
That I don't agree with, Tim, I'll tell you the one that I don't agree with is the city council giving the dog catcher a $50,000 raise, okay? And the city council and the school committee doesn't get paid anything. They gave their chosen few. They give themselves a raise. They do whatever they want to do. But the last night, it was watching out for their keisters.
All right, I got to hold you there.
No, I know, but you look at the tape. Just look at the tape.
I was watching it.
When you're arguing, when Brian Gomes is arguing against two lawyers, I don't remember this and I don't remember that. He's bringing up things when Cougar was president, when Markey left. They didn't even know when Markey left, the first year or the second year. You know, if you're going to stay there and you want to change the chatter, don't let one person put you to the slaughterhouse.
Right.
So there's other things there. If you look at the tape, just look at the tape. They're worried about themselves. They're not worrying about the taxpayers. That there's not enough. They're worried about the elections, about being recalled because it's going to cost them money. She made one statement, Linda. That's why everything started about if a person is the president. And what she really said, the way I took it, that's my opinion, if she was too dumb to take the position as mayor. That's my opinion now.
Oh, that might be a little extreme, but.
No, I know that, but that's why she wanted to be able to have the city council vote for another one to go in there. It was ridiculous. There was a thing on the agenda. And then finally, I kept making a motion to Ryan Pereira. There's eye contact. And I'm saying, why don't you just table the thing? Why go through all this 2.5 hours for nothing?
Which I think everybody knew that it was from the very beginning, it wasn't going anywhere. But I do got to hold you there, Gilly. I got to take a break here.
All right. Bye-bye.
You have a good day. Very good points. And if you didn't see the meeting, it'll be available on the council website. Under the archives, and definitely, you know, watch it. And then, you know, like I said, all of this discussion for them to just table it for the future. What's going to happen when they get the answers to the questions that they had? How long are they going to keep punting this down the line? So I think it really is going to be up to you, the citizens, to show up when they're going to be discussing this. This is kind of just the beginning of the process. I don't think anybody thought that, you know, last night everybody was going to be on board with this and it was going to be moving on to the next step, but there's still plenty of time for you to have your voice heard, including calling here, 508-996-0500. And I'll get into, so I didn't really get into yet some of the things that Gilly was talking about. I'll break it down a little bit more when we come back. But right now, I've got to take this break. We'll be back in a few moments. And of course, it is 50s night. That song always makes me think of Hanna-Barbera. Because when I was a kid, my grandfather gave us some videotapes, some VHS tapes. And one of them, you know, these cartoon VHS tapes, one of them was Hanna-Barbera, and it was like oldie songs. And what it was they basically took a bunch of songs from the 50s and 60s and they put it to some Hanna-Barbera cartoon clips. And they kind of looked like they were synchronized, but, you know, I don't think that they really were. I think it was just, let's take a bunch of, like, in this case, See You Later, Alligator was, who's the alligator character in Hanna-Barbera? Why am I blanking? But, you know, like a lot of him. Then there was one that was, why am I blanking on what these were? Anyway, it doesn't matter. So every time I hear those songs, I think of the Hanna-Barbera cassette. I'd like to find them. I wonder if somebody's uploaded that to YouTube somewhere. I'll have to see if I can find it. We used to watch it all the time in my house. But anyway, tonight we're going to have 50s music all night long from 3 p.m. until midnight right here on WBSM. No matter how you listen to WBSM, all of our methods of hitting your ear holes will have 50s music. And it's brought to you by our sponsors, Elite Auto Detailing, Market Basket, Leach Auto Body, Empire Ford of Fall River and New Bedford, and Advanced Financial Group. So it's going to be a lot of fun, a lot of great music. Threw in some novelty songs. We get all the slow songs from 10 o'clock on, the backseat music portion of the playlist. So I'm looking forward to not only getting to hear all these songs on the radio tonight while we're down there at 50s night on Purchase Street. That's where we'll be, in front of Family Dollar. But also, I love when people come up to me and say, oh, I hadn't heard that song in forever. Thank you for playing it. So just don't make requests when you come down there. It's already all been programmed in. I spent all yesterday and last night getting it ready. So I was talking about the part we kind of didn't get to in the discussion last night, and that was the fact that the counselors, as Gilly pointed out, don't want to be subject to a recall. Counselor Morad said either if you want us to be subject to a recall with a 2-year term, then all of the other elected positions in the city should either be 2-year terms or make everybody the same term as the mayor, 4 years. Now, the assessor has to be 6 years because that's state mandated. So they can't really change that. But she's talking about, you know, city council, mayor, school committee, all being on the same term length. So then that's a question I've got to ask you, the audience. In order to get a recall process on the books, would you be willing to have counselors for 4 years? As you know, they've been trying since the mayor got the 4-year term to bring it back to a 2-year term. And that's certainly not going to happen with this mayor. He's not looking to initiate that process. So what do you think? Would you make that trade? Or would you just say to the city council, too bad. You said for us to have it, it has to apply to everybody, not just you. Now we want to make it apply to everybody, and you want to say, but not you? Now, the council's point was they run, they get elected. They start in January of their first year, and by April of the next year, they have to pull papers and start the process of running for that office again. So there's only a year and 4 months where they're not already campaigning. Now, this home rule petition calls for, I think they said in the first 3 months, there was some question about when it could happen, but I believe they said it would be the first 3 months you would not be able to be subject to a recall. So the recall process wouldn't start until January, February, March, you know, it'd have to be April of your first year before they could start that term, before they could try to recall you. And then the recall process itself is going to be a couple of months process. I mean, what are you afraid of? If you're just going to start campaigning again 16 months in, I don't know. The mechanism that's put in place, and they want more signature requirements to be, they don't think that 600 signatures is a high threshold for trying to take a counselor at large out of their seat. I got to take a break here, though. We'll be back in a few moments. And welcome back in. We are going to go into the newsroom in just a moment. When we come back on the other side, more with you, 508-996-0500. App chat and open line voicemails on the WBSM app. Tim in New Bedford says, maybe I missed you saying it, but do you have to register every day for a chance at tickets to Green Day or just once? No, any of our ticket giveaways that we do where you enter online, you only need to enter once. So in fact, I think it prevents you from entering a second time.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.